Perhaps you've noticed there's something kind of backwards about some of the emergency vehicles out on the roads today. Here's an example. You've got your basic truck design, complete with the emergency lighting on the outside, filled with all sorts of medical equipment, but written across the front are some letters in reverse, which, when somebody tries to read it looking head on, say something like, Eknalubma. At least that's how it looks when you look head on. Look at that same image, however, through a rear view mirror, and one can see that it spells ambulance. Anyone who has seen such vehicles approaching from behind know why that is sometimes done. The drivers of those vehicles need everyone else to get out of the way so they can go and administer the needed help and rescue. And since mirrors reverse images, those letters are sometimes placed backwards so that there's no doubt of the identity when you see something approaching from behind. In short, you sometimes need to look at something through something else in order to see it accurately. A principle which applies to another lifesaver, the most important lifesaver, the eternal lifesaver, God. As a matter of fact, if we attempt to look at God and understand Him without looking at Him through a certain reflector, we'll get Him all wrong. Our understanding will be backwards. And that reflector is Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we are told, "No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has made Him known." That's not to say that you need Jesus to know that God exists. You don't. People world round recognize that God exists. They can tell this from the evidence that surrounds us in nature, from the round world, to the stars, to the planets, to the order of the seasons, and so forth. Paul explained that the invisible things of God are clearly seen from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. When the Lord created mankind, He gave us this natural knowledge of His existence. Some people, of course, have worked very hard at suppressing that natural knowledge to the point where they claim they believe there is no God. But the vast majority of people are aware that God exists. There is a supernatural power. Even people who have never heard of Jesus know that there is a God. But that doesn't mean we don't need Jesus. We do, more than anything else in the world. And here's why. There's a huge difference between knowing that God exists and knowing God. It's one thing to know that God is alive. It's an entirely different thing to know what God is like. John tells us in our text, "No man has seen God at any time." Many things can be known as a result of simply seeing them, being able to look at them. But John explains that God is not one of them because it's impossible for us to see Him. The closest anyone ever got was Moses, but God's holiness and glory are so great that He had to put Moses in a cave and hold his hand over the opening if Moses was to survive the ordeal at all. And since no one has ever seen God in the fullness of His heavenly glory and majesty, it's impossible that anyone can understand Him by means of human sight. But isn't our natural knowledge of God enough? No. And the reason it's not enough is because of that old problem of sin. When sin entered the world, it completely flipped around man's natural understanding of what God is like. We can see it in Adam. God told him and Eve that if they ate that forbidden fruit, they would die. And they did die on the spot. Not physically, but spiritually, as Adam soon demonstrated. He displayed his complete lack of understanding after he sinned of who God is and what He is like. His view of the Lord was turned all the way around. He went and hid himself from the God who was coming to help. He still knew God existed, but he lost his understanding of God's true personality and character. And that's the same spiritual ignorance into which every one of Adam's descendants is born. Seeing God backwards. That's how the world sees Him. And it's a situation that robs God of his glory and causes us great harm. And so, God graciously did the amazing thing. He sent his Son, the perfect reflection of himself. John says Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. Jesus is so identical to the Father in purpose and power and position. He's so united to the Father that he stated simply, "I and the Father are one." Jesus is God. And as such, he is the one who shows us what God is really like. Our text states, he has made known God or interpreted God. When we look at Jesus, our naturally backward view of God is turned around again, and we see him for what he is. One day, one of the disciples, Philip, said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus was saddened by the request, saying, "I've been with you for such a long time, Philip, and still you don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" To know what God is really like, we need to look at his reflection, at Jesus. For without looking to him, we'll be as confused about God and his ways as is the rest of the world. Those who refuse to look to Jesus have read God all wrong. Wherever Jesus is rejected, there are countless misconceptions, the most garish of which has to do with the manner in which we are saved. When people attempt to understand God's plan of salvation without Jesus, all they can come up with is the hopeless idea that we somehow, some way, have to pay off God for our miserable sins. The Christless world assumes that it has the ability, actually, which is erroneous, to somehow quiet God's anger over our sin, and it insults his holiness with its attempts to come up with all sorts of payments, whether they're in the form of some kind of so-called good works or some kind of actual payment or physical payoff. They look at God apart from Christ and figure they somehow have to make up for it on their own. But take a look at the Lord as he reveals himself through Jesus, and you see an altogether different God, the real God. There we see God taking on human flesh and becoming one of us so he can serve as our substitute. There we see Jesus carrying a cross to his own sacrifice. On Calvary, we see the Father placing on his Son the sins of the entire world. We see Jesus paying for all that global guilt through the shedding of his blood. In other words, we see a God who is completely different from the misread version of the world. Without Christ, the conclusion is backwards and hopeless. We somehow have to pay off God. Look to Christ, and the conclusion is forward-looking and hopeful. God has paid for it all through his Son's blood. And that's only the beginning of the facts that are correctly viewed about God when we look to Jesus. Without a mirror, without a rearview mirror, a person could theoretically misinterpret the identity of the speeding vehicle from behind. But when one looks at such a vehicle through a rearview mirror, the identity is clear. So also with God. He's on his way with the day of redemption, that day of final rescue from all sin and grace. Those who fail to read and understand God through Christ will misread the identity, will not see what's coming, will be run over and destroyed. But those who do see God through Christ will understand that he is the one who has taken care of it, has paid for our sins, and all who do so will be saved when he arrives. Those who overlook Jesus see everything backwards. But when we look to him in Christ, we see things correctly and move forward to glory with him. The hymn for this morning is 252, which sings of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Hymn 252.